Hello and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt and I'm a coach, trainer and hypnotherapist. I work primarily with overthinkers like myself who are seeking to break free of the prisons that we create with our minds and that make life feel more difficult and less enjoyable than it might otherwise feel. And the goal ultimately is to help us live more joyfully, feeling a greater sense of fulfillment and a greater sense of enjoyment for the life that we worked really hard to build. So that's what my day job is about, but it's also what I spend pretty much all of my time doing for myself as well, in the hope that ultimately I can become somebody who is a contributor of joy in the world, rather than constantly being somebody who's seeking more, seeking happiness, seeking success. And admittedly, I still have goals and I still am seeking success in a variety of ways, but I am looking to understand what it means to live in a way that makes today and this moment joyful, not just for me, but for the people I interact with as well. So yeah, what it means to connect, build relationships, build trust, and to do so in a way that ultimately something more joyful is left behind after I go. And I reflect on that today. It's my 49th birthday today as I record this. And so I started thinking about what I've learned over my lifetime and probably what I still need to learn. And so this is going to be a relatively short episode. I was just reflecting on it this morning. So I'm working with a client at the moment and she is super, 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 super hard on herself for everything. I mean, she's an amazing woman. She's achieved incredible things and I'm in absolute awe of her. And to listen to her talk, she is somebody who is almost always holding that mental stick in her hand and smashing herself with it. And I recognize that and feel such empathy for her because I've been that person and sometimes am that person. And I think that's so common for many of us when we are overthinkers, is that we are always carrying that stick and we are always ready to bring it out and be like, you are so stupid. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. Why were you even there? What were you thinking? And we have all of that like, ah! And so this morning I was reflecting on that and I was thinking about what it means to live joyfully and what I still need to learn, what I have learned, what it means to be 49, you know, all that stuff that comes with a birthday as you get a bit older and you start reflecting on your life and what it means and all of that stuff. And so I was lying there this morning and I was thinking about joyful living and some of the skills that I've learned, and I was thinking about my clients and some of the skills that I hope to help her to develop and hone. And since it's the school holidays, and so I'm not working as many hours as I would normally work, and I'm also working on my book proposal, which is due in on the 18th of April, I haven't recorded an episode for this week. So I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to record an episode and to reflect at the same time on some of the things that I've learned about what it means to be a contributor of joy, to have life be an expression of joy rather than the seeking of constant happiness. So I was lying in bed this morning thinking about it. I woke up at 5 to 5 this morning and I wasn't actually aware. If you'd asked me, I would have said it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And so I was like, oh, good, I can go back to sleep. And then I saw what time it was and I was like, oh, it's morning. Because I normally get up somewhere between 5 and 5:30 anyway. So then I was like, oh, well, I should probably get up then. And then I was like, no, but it's my birthday, so I can do anything I want today. And so I did a yoga nidra practice, which is a form of sort of yogic meditation where you take your attention to various points on your body, very specific points like the end of your finger or the end of your toe or whatever. And you scan various points from the top of your head to the bottom of your toe all the way down, point by point, focusing on your breath, focusing on these points in your body. And so it's a very relaxing practice if you know how to disengage from your thoughts. And that was one of the things that I was reflecting on this morning as I was thinking about my clients and I was thinking about myself and I was thinking about how that one skill is probably the one that lies beneath everything else I think that's required for joyful living, because I used to have the sensation that my thoughts were, the way I used to see it was, imagine a horse and cart, and the cart is sort of shallow, open, like a, almost like a bed, but hollow. So you can lie inside it and there are sides, but that sort of depth, if you can imagine that. So like a trailer, basically, and it's being drawn by two horses and it's being drawn on cobbled streets. And it's bare wood, the trailer. So you lie in the back of it, you're lying on the trailer, and the horses start running. And it's like, doo, 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 doo. You're being thrown around by the cobbles. This trailer is bumping around on the road. That's what my emotional experience and my thought experience used to feel like to me. That I could only ever experience peace if my surroundings promoted it. Like any moment, something around me, any relationship, any work stress, anything came up that put a cobble beneath that trailer, I got thrown around by it. And it was very easy for me to get stressed out. It was very easy for me to lose my cool. It was very easy for me to sweat the small stuff. Now, sometimes that still happens. Quite regularly, that still happens. But the skill of being able to recognize that there's a moment of choice between the thought or the feeling and what I do with it, the skill of cultivating and spending time in that space is probably the most important thing I have learned to do in my life. Now, if I was listening to this, I'd be like, okay, well, that's great. I get it. But how do I learn that? Because, yeah, I can't shut my mind off and I'm being thrown around by the cobbles. So the first thing I did that really, really worked for me was learning meditation with an actual meditation teacher, going and doing that in person. Prior to that, I had been using the Headspace app and I'd used a variety of guided meditations. I did some stuff on YouTube, but I didn't really get the hang of it until I had a person supporting me to do it. And his presence, I think, and his energy and his calm was actually what I began to get a sense of within myself. Like, one of the things that he taught me was that there is this space within you that it is always calm. He likened it to the ocean and said, you know, when you go to the deepest part of the ocean, you can have an absolute storm raging at the surface. You can have these massive waves and it can be utter turbulent chaos. But if you sink to the seabed, you will find that it is calm there. The waves don't reach that far. And it's the same within us, that there is always a part of us that doesn't engage in the storm, that isn't a part of it. And we have the option to sink below. And so I used to get that sensation of sinking below the waves and finding this calm within myself. It was like moving from my head, taking my attention from my head and placing it in my body, like being more aware of my breath and that it was quieter there. And that was the first thing. And then cultivating and doing the practice every single day. Now, I was meant to do it twice a day. I only ever did it once a day. I still only ever do it once a day. But the daily practice of doing that made the difference. And I think everything else that has come out of my kind of, I guess, growth in this area, everything else has stemmed from, I think, that one skill. Prior to that, everything that I was doing was much more about fixing myself and doing things to myself that were supposed to make me somehow better. But since that one, it's become more about learning to connect with that part of me that just is completely unflappable and can face and handle absolutely anything. And knowing that that part is always with me, I find a comfort. So even when I do completely lose it, I'm always certain that I can find my way back there, even if I temporarily, you know, get a bit upset, shall we say. So that, knowing that, I think, is probably the key for any kind of ability to experience and contribute joy to the world, because you don't have to be thrown around by absolutely everything that's inconvenient or not exactly the way you want it to be. And I think that's the second thing that's ended up happening, is I have a lot more flexibility in what I need in order to be okay. So back in those days with all the cobbles and being thrown around, the band within which I was okay was really narrow. I needed a lot to go my way in order for me to be okay. Where now I can find calm and peace in a sort of wider spectrum of inconveniences without being upset by it. That said, I've got a huge amount of growth to do in this area, because my life is actually very small now. And I realized this the other day because, yeah, I spent most of my time at home, either alone or with my family. So my repertoire for things I can tolerate has expanded exponentially within those parameters. But when I'm outside of those parameters, it is easy to get overwhelmed still. So still a lot to do. But again, the knowledge of having that quiet, resourceful part means it's just a matter of practice. That's all it is. And so I guess that's the thing. If you are somebody who beats yourself with a stick all the time, the question becomes, what is the thing that you would need to practice repeatedly that would allow you to experience something different? And like I say, for me, that was practicing meditation regularly and practicing the ability to find that space between my thought and emotion and what I then do with it. And that's, I think, the link between spirituality and the practicality of habits, is we have to have a spiritual practice in order to transcend the irritations of everyday life. And I think joy is a transcendence of those things. Our ability to experience joy is a transcendence of the inconveniences of everyday life, and an ability to recognize how incredible life actually is. And one of the things that was in this yoga nidra practice, it was a yoga nidra practice for gratitude. And I've done gratitude practices fairly regularly over the last few years with some success. But today she said this thing and I was like, gosh, that's good. She said, if you could only keep everything that you think of now and are grateful for now, what would be here tomorrow? Those weren't the exact words, but it was something like that. And suddenly I was like, whoa, my mind just opened up to everything. I thought about all the people, all the things, all the resources I have access to. Like, the list just went on and on and on, because I was like, yeah, I do. I want to keep all of these things. I'm so grateful for all of these things. But when I've done gratitude practices before, I've sometimes struggled to think about the things I'm grateful for. So that would be something else. It would be a great practice to try today. If you could only keep the things you're grateful for right now, what would you be grateful for? And when you look at it in that context of the possibility that you could lose those things, they suddenly take on a different meaning. And I think that is also another thing that's so baked into joy, is it is a gratitude for what we have right now and for everything that the moment brings with it. And more often than not, the seeking of something else puts our attention in the gap between what we have and what we want. And so it's always about the lack and about what we don't have and what we don't want and what we want to fix about ourselves. And we spend so much time and attention in the criticism that, yeah, it does, it feels a bit shit, to be fair. But when we spend time in that space of like, wow, everything is pretty good, that feels good. And one of the things I've struggled with a little bit around that is the fact that then it makes me think, well, do I need to push so hard for anything else? And then I feel bad sometimes because I'm like, well, other people are pushing and they're getting stuff done. And you're not really moving that fast. But then I'm like, but what do they get when they arrive at the point that they pushed for? What else is waiting for them there that's better than what's waiting for me now or waiting for them now? And I'm like, yeah, I think maybe the whole point is that we're just meant to be able to find peace and enjoyment and gratitude in this moment and not make it about anything else at all. And so that's basically it. I don't really know what to do with that. I don't think there's more to life than that. I think probably all of our work is about cultivating that and being okay with whatever happens and grateful for what we have, whatever that is, and recognizing that it's all good. I have a lot of work to do in this area, but at the moment, right now, as I sit here, that feels good. I hope it has felt good to you. I hope this episode has brought a sense of ease and peace, even if just momentarily, for you. And if you've enjoyed the episode and you'd like to leave a review, I would be so grateful for that. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you'll be back next week. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening.